Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 43. Okay, ready? Genesis 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, so it came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." Then Judah spoke to him, however, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you do not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' Then Israel said, 'Why did you treat me so badly by telling the man whether you still had another brother?' And they said, 'The man questioned particularly about us and our relatives, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' So we answered his questions. Could we possibly know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?' And Judah said to his father Israel, 'Send a lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, as well as you and our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. You may hold me responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, place that we opened our sacks, and behold, each man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full. So we have brought it back in our hand. We have also brought down other money in our hand to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Be at ease. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder. So they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they were to eat a meal there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. Then he asked them about their welfare, and he said, "Is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed down in homage. And he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. He said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." And Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother. And he sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he controlled himself and said, "Serve the meal." So he served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Now there were seated before him the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his youth, and the men looked at one another in astonishment. And he took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Amen. Oh, man, it's kind of a bummer that we have to stop because we're starting the Lent season tomorrow. But we'll go this, and I guess we'll continue on after Easter when we get back. So chapter 43, you get an idea of how bad this famine is that's happening here. And so because as you grasp the famine is so bad, it gives you a better picture, I think, of why Joseph needs to go through what he goes through. I think a lot of times when there's suffering, a lot of times when there's very bad things that happen, the real big question that we always ask is why? Isn't that right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. It's I trust God, and that's not an issue, but just for my mental sake, my emotional sake, Lord, why? Why this? Why slavery? Why a false accusation? Why 3 years in prison? Or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, it doesn't really answer all the why questions in this regard, but it does give us a state of what's going on during this time. It's really, really bad. It's so bad that, there's so little food now on the earth, not just around Egypt, but I'm talking about on the earth. This famine is so bad that this father who loves his youngest son, who's already given up his second son, Simeon, he's already, right, Reuben and then Simeon, he's already said, okay, my son is already dead, but there's no food, and they're starving, and they're all going to die. And so he actually gives now his youngest son to this, and says, all right, you guys just need to go. Yeah, it just gives us a little glimpse of the dire situation that's happening here. If not for Joseph, the wisdom of Joseph and Joseph being in a position to do something, and this position, it definitely wasn't the front door, but it was God's back door that he's in this place in prison to consult Pharaoh. A dream comes that basically saves not only the Israel people, but the whole world in this regard. I mean, imagine if Joseph is not there. They don't save the grain in these 7 years. You're talking about big, big trouble. And sometimes those kind of situations give us a little glimpse of what's happening here in that regard. And so, like I said, it doesn't answer all the why questions, but it gives us a glimpse a bit that God is doing something. And so they said, okay, you need to go take care of this. So they go on their way, and then Jacob, being a very wise man, he sends gifts along with them. This is a very, very sacred tradition, especially during this time, and even now, during our times. Let me read you Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 14 says, a gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. Now, Jacob would have been very, very aware of the power of that proverb, because that's precisely what he did with his brother Esau. Remember? He presented a gift in the midst of the anger, and it was subsided. And so Jacob's thinking, oh, you know what? This is what we should do. And so he brings the best that they had to offer. The honey was much better in Canaan than it was in Egypt. You see, all these things, pistachio nuts, probably the best in the world, even today out in Syria. And so we see that he takes the best of the things that they have, and he presents it to him as a gift. Now, there's something quite powerful about a gift. What do husbands typically give to their wives when they know they're in trouble? Gifts, flowers, chocolates, whatever it may be. I don't know what you guys do, but generally, this is a very common idea. If you really, really messed up, then you give jewelry. You give gold. If you really messed up, diamonds. If you remember Kobe Bryant, when he had a thing, he bought his wife like a 10-carat diamond ring. And so, obviously, he really messed up. So we in our day and time, we very much understand what this is about. And so this is really a biblical concept. It's not bribing. That's not the whole point. But it's offering repentance or some kind of consolation in the midst of the grief or whatnot. And so that's what happens here in this situation. And so he returns him and says, give the money as well. And so they take double the money, They go on their way, and Joseph sees them from a distance, and then he asks them to prepare a feast. Now, this would have been ludicrous in terms of Joseph extending this kind of favor. Obviously, this takes quite a bit of time to get to preparing the feast and all these things. I mean, we just read in verse 30, in 32, that Egyptians and Hebrews do not eat together. Because Egyptians, it says it's loathsome to them. The word is it's an abomination to them. It's a pretty strong word. And so they don't do these things, but Joseph actually invites them into his house. And when he sees everything, the word, let me see, verse 23, this is the Joseph's basically house servant is talking to the brothers, and he look what he says to him. He says, "Be at ease. The word is peace be to you, shalom, in the Hebrew. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. And this is amazing, this word, hey, be at peace. I think when we are troubled, when we are encountering different times of our life and it's very difficult, it's probably the greatest words that we can hear from God. All right, just be at peace. Shalom. God's saying, hey, I've got everything taken care of. Don't worry about this. I know you're afraid. You don't know what's going on. They're very suspicious. Why are we going to Joseph's house? I think we're in trouble. Oh, we found the money in our bag. We can worry about so many different things, can't we? And sometimes when we get in these situations, isn't that precisely what happens? We get into a moment where we actually really don't know what's going on. We don't know what to do. And what is the first thing our mind does? It starts wandering and thinking of all these worst-case scenarios. It starts going off and plotting and devising and all these things, when really God is totally in control. And so we should kind of rest our minds and rest our attitudes and all these things. I think a lot of times when I've talked to people, you know, in the midst of conflict, they're not in their right mind. They're really not trusting God. They're really trusting their circumstances and whatnot. What makes situations difficult, this is my humble opinion, is as I deal with people in this regard, it's not so much of what's really happening. That is almost a minor issue, but it's unraveling all these worst-case scenarios or assumptions or expectations, or you did this because you feel like this, which is totally not true in that regard. But it comes out in that way. And so these guys are totally unraveling here. Their minds are wandering. They're going to all these worst-case scenarios of what's going to happen to them. And then here's a pagan who speaks this word. Hey, be at peace. Peace to you. Be at ease. Just relax. Just relax. Your God has got this all in order. Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning.